church.
It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. In verse number 10, it says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So what he's saying there is that the wisdom of God, right, the knowledge of God, which is foolishness to the world. So obviously, it doesn't matter whether he's talking about wisdom for natural things, to do things that are physical, that's a better word, to doing physical things or doing spiritual things. The one that we rely on or that we acknowledge in all of those ways, physical or spiritual, is the Spirit of God, right? And those ways are ignorant to the world. In other words, where we are acknowledging of God, our acknowledging of God and all that he's given, that's foolishness unto the world. They would say, you know what? Well, you just got to learn this. You just have to try the best that you can. In other words, that's the best advice that the world gives to their children. Do the best that you can. And if you try hard, you will. I mean, obviously, they look at it very optimistically. You know, you could always do what you set your mind to. But that obviously is not true. And it's proven to be not true, right? That it is not right that every child that does his best, every child that puts his mind to it, accomplishes everything that he sets his mind to. That's not right. That's a horrible lie to tell a child, that all that they have to do is put their mind to it and they'll achieve it, right? Because they're going to fail and they're going to know sooner or later that you lied. Because what happened? I did the best that I could. And then you have to say, well, you know, you're right. You know, sometimes life is hard. So, but you just said a little bit ago that you could just try as hard as you can and you'll succeed, right? But, and the world says that as an anthem, but unfortunately, that's foolishness, right? In other words, that's like preaching the law to people, right? That, oh, you can be good and you can do this and you can do that and you can just try hard and God will find you acceptable, or you can be righteous of yourself and you can be good, and right, because there's so many people that think that they're good yet they're not, right? Because they're good in their own estimation. They do what they do in just in their own leaning on their own understanding. But what you have to know is that there is no division of wisdom. There is no division of wisdom. God doesn't teach you one thing and that you use for spiritual things and then you just lean on yourself. And I get it. It is, in a sense, for us sometimes, it's easier. You know what? You don't even remember about acknowledging God. And the majority of the time when you don't acknowledge the Lord, it's because of concern. It's because of worry, right? That you don't even give yourself time to just stop for a second, acknowledge the Lord, right? Stop a second and acknowledge the Lord. He says that eye has not seen nor ear heard. So the things that are heavenly do not come in. Now watch this. The things that are heavenly do not come in through your physical eyes and do not come in through your ears. In other words, they're not understood that way. They're not understood that way. Let me show you something real quick. With that, if we can go up to chapter 1. Really quick, chapter 1 and around verse number 20. He says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? He said, has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Let me read you verse 21 again. For after that, in wisdom, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. So what he's saying in there is that God, in his wisdom, right, that it is known that the only way that the world could ever know him is by the wisdom that comes from God, right? In other words, those that are taught of the Lord. But that by the wisdom of the world, they could never know him. So that means that an individual that does not know the Lord and does not acknowledge the Lord in their lives could look around and could become a creationist. There must be a higher power because look at all that I see. But that is not the wisdom of God, right? Again, listen, the wisdom of God does not come through your eyes or through your ears. God does not teach you that way. God does not teach through the eyes and through the ears. You know, the Lord said, he wrote in and I think it's in Isaiah 11, he says that as the Lord was growing, he says that he was made quick to understanding, and that he did not judge. In other words, he did not reason. He did not perceive. He did not perceive, nor did he. So he was quick of understanding from the Lord, and that he did not judge by the sight of his eyes or by the hearing of his ears. This is how the Lord Jesus grew up, not judging by the sight of his eyes, nor by the hearing of his ears. That means that he did not look to know the Lord or to understand God by what he saw or what he heard. You know, I was just talking about a few days ago about my conversation with a person that I know, and they were talking to me about how, and many Christians quote that, right, about, you know, that we will soar on wings like eagles, and our strength will be renewed like the eagles, and people start studying eagles in order to understand that verse. But you're never going to get anywhere. You can't look at something that is spiritual and then look at something over here that's physical and think that because you study something physical, you're going to understand something spiritual. You can never know by the wisdom of the world. In other words, if the world can look at it, right? The wisdom of God does not come from that. If the world can hear it, the wisdom of God does not come from that. Nothing that the world can hear or see will ever teach you or them God. It is only, in other words, the spiritual things, right? God is a spirit, right? And he says, so no one knows the things of God save the Spirit of God and anyone who has that Spirit in him. And the things of God are only spiritually discerned. Only spiritually discerned. So when you ask God, when you acknowledge the Lord in something that is physical, when you acknowledge the Lord in that, what you're asking him for is to continually teach you and show you. So you're asking to be taught of God. So you're not asking for worldly wisdom. You're asking the Lord to teach you and show you that which the world would call foolish, right? The world would call what you're doing and how you live foolish, right? In right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, if we jump down to, well, let's read verse 21 again. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, and it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. By the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So he's talking about the preaching of the gospel, right? That's what he's talking about there, the preaching of the gospel. And it says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. So what that's talking about there is a sign, which is physical, and the wisdom that the Greeks seek after also is physical wisdom, the kind that God finds foolish. That's what they seek after, right? But neither one of them was God going to give them in order to teach. So a sign would not be given to the Jews. Why? Because they received the oracles of God. They received the word of God. So they received better than a sign. But they, instead of accepting the word of God and acknowledging him, they sought after a sign. And you see that repeatedly. The 5,000, when they were fed, what did they ask for? A sign. What is it that people constantly want? Why is it that Jesus said this evil and perverse generation always looking for a sign, right? They were always looking for something physical to believe. It would be the same thing as us believing that the Lord heals when you're healed. Okay, so you're trying to believe healing, which is by the power of God, which is spiritual. You're trying to understand that with something carnal, with something that is seen. So when people say, well, Lord, I want to really, Lord, believe, Lord, that you heal. Just show me this, Lord, so that I can know. We're on the wrong foot, right? Because you're never, the Lord did miracles for 40 years. For 40 years in the wilderness, he did miraculous signs. And that did not lead the people of Israel even this much closer to faith. So the Lord's showing you a great work of power being done in your life. Well, listen, if you lean on your own understanding, you will reason that away also. When you find yourself in doubt, right, because of our lack of acknowledging the Lord, when you find yourself in doubt, you will reason that away. And even if you believe it was from God, you'll reason it away and not be convinced that the Lord would do it again. That's why people have to do that all the time. They have to constantly remind themselves of what God did in Daniel's life where he rescued him from the lion's den. And Lord, if you did it in his life, that's earthly reasoning. You think that because he did it in Daniel's life, because that is seen, anybody, an ungodly person could open up the Bible and see what God did in Daniel's life. But that's not going to prove anything to you ever. You will never learn the gospel, the power of God that is unto salvation, by waiting on the things that you can see and feel and hear. Jesus did not judge. In other words, his reasoning, his perception, how he saw and looked at things was not by the sight of his eyes, nor by the hearing of his ears. We talked about this several services ago. When his mother came, right? When his mother came looking for him, he says, "Why have you done this for us? You walked away from us. You know, we were worried sick about you. How could you do that to us?" Right? And he was able, in a nice way, to correct his mother. Because you know what? It's not about the way you were feeling and how you were worried. What he was trying to tell her is you should not have been worried. Because if you would seek after the same knowledge that I seek after and acknowledge the Lord as I have learned to acknowledge him, you wouldn't be worried, but you would know that I would be about my father's business. Why did you not know that I would be about my father's business? Because you leaned on your own understanding and I don't. Right? So it's just a way to show and to teach you, you know, the wisdom of God unto us, in other words, what we possess today, all of the things that are of the kingdom, right? And actually, we're taught to live that way, right? Seek first the kingdom of God, not to seek after the things that the Gentiles seek, right? Nor to be conformed to the way that Gentiles think, that not to be conformed to this world, right? Not to be conformed in any way, not in our thinking or in our learning. But he says, you know, that if we listen to the Lord to seek first the kingdom of God, in other words, to seek that which is heavenly and the righteousness that gives us the access through Jesus Christ through it, right, to it. So you see what it is that he says, since we have, Hebrews chapter 12 talks about this, since we have a kingdom in us, on the inside of us, that cannot be shaken. In other words, we have come, right, to the place where Christ is. He has seated us with him. So since we have entered into the things of the kingdom of God, he said, then let us have grace. He said, instead of receiving of the things of this world that are temporal, right? Instead of receiving of the things of this world that are temporal, because even the knowledge of this world is temporal, right? The word of God, which is of the wisdom of God, will never end, right? Will never be obsolete, right? But the wisdom of this world is. That's why it's foolishness, because it's depending. You're going to do something temporary, but you're going to do it by the wisdom that is also temporary, that is forever changing, right? In this world, they're always finding better ways to do the same thing that you used to do 25 years ago, right? Always a better way to do it, right? But the Lord in his wisdom through you, right, can always, even in natural things, give you the best way for things to be done. In any scenario, right? In any scenario, not just acknowledging God for those things that are spiritual when we come in here to work and figure, well, you know what, I've been doing this job now for 40 years, right? I've been doing this job for 40 years and you know what, I know it like the back of my hand. But then what it is that in your mind, you count that as a benefit. You count that as profit to you because of your past experience, right? But understand that to the Lord is foolishness, right? For a man to lean on his own understanding when he has the mind of Christ in him is foolishness to God. In other words, you're living beneath where you could be. We should be in every way, shape, or form reigning. In other words, as better than even Solomon reigned in his kingdom. Better than Solomon reigned in his kingdom, where obviously you can see that Solomon did not just reign over Israel, right? Solomon reigned in everything that he did, right? In everything that Solomon did, you saw prosperity in what he was doing, right? Because there was life in what he was doing. So there was prosperity in different things. Now, the times that you see either of those men, David or Solomon, do make mistakes is why? Because they were leaning then on their own understanding, right? Solomon, at the end of his life, what happened to him? He leaned on his own understanding. In our scenario, it's very different, and we ended last service talking about this, but in our scenario, it's very different from Solomon, right? Because the Spirit of God was in him, right? But he was not one with the Lord, right? But we, on the other hand, he said he promised us this, that he would never leave us, and that he would never forsake us. So we don't live with the fear of David that prayed, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." We didn't live with the fear of Saul, right? Where Saul lost his mind when the Spirit of God left him, right? We are people that perpetually always have the Spirit of God within us. No matter what has happened from the day that we received and were saved and delivered from the destruction of this world, we will forever going forward have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. So it's foolishness for us. It is foolish for us to live according to the basic elemental things of this world when we have the kingdom on the inside of us. So that's why he said, we that are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, He says, then let us have grace. Right? Let us have grace. In other words, freely. Because that's why he says, if you receive the abundance of grace. You understand what he's saying? Receive the abundance of grace. Because you have the grace of God in you doesn't mean that you're receiving that grace. Right? The day you were saved, you surely received the fullness of God. But what he's talking about is let us have grace. He's saying receive from what you have. Take from what you have. Don't live foolishly, right? Don't live a life leaning on your own understanding. Don't count it a benefit, the things that you know, but put those things aside. Put those things aside through what? Through the acknowledging of him. Through the acknowledging of him. Then no matter what comes before you, the Lord can help you to sieve, to judge, not according to what your eyes see. Just think about that for a second. Imagine that with me for a minute by the Spirit of God. A life that is not moved. And listen, when we say that not moved, in other words, sometimes when you think, you know, when you're worried, you're like, man, like I shouldn't really be worried. But what you're missing is, what are you moved from? When you are concerned, when you are worried, when you are fearful, what is it that you're moved from? Is it just not a great emotion to have because it's not helping you? Or are you being moved away from something? When we're in fear, when we're leaning on our own understanding, when we are in care and we're overburdened, what is it that you're moved away from? The gospel. The place where your mind is being moved away from is being moved away from being rooted and grounded in Christ. In other words, there is a place where your heart is being moved away from, and it doesn't need to be, right? It doesn't need to be. Your heart could be stayed on the Lord, and what will you experience, he said? Perfect peace. Perfect peace, that those whose mind is stayed on him, he will keep you in perfect peace. Why? Because no matter what you're seeing, how can you be kept in perfect peace no matter the chaos that you see? How can you be kept in perfect peace no matter the death that you're seeing around you? How can you be kept in perfect peace when the world is not okay? Because it's not about how the world is. It is who are you and what do you possess? And surely, yes, you do enrich the world around you because of what you have in you. But the glory that is in you cannot enrich the world around you, right? If we're walking like the world walks and reasoning like the world reasons and thinking like the world thinks, right? That's just called leaning on your own understanding. The world can do that also. We know that if something bad happens to you, that is not the Lord teaching you something. We've heard that many times before. Because you did something wrong, and then the next day something bad happens, you know, your car breaks down. We know that that's not the Lord punishing you because of what happened yesterday. But why is it that we still think that way, though? That when it happens, you still think about that. Why is it that you still think of that? Because when something happens, at that moment when you thought that, guess what understanding you were leaning on? Your own. Right? Your own. Whenever you are moved away from a gospel, right, that is life unto you, right, we have silly thoughts like that, but that's why it's not about guilt, it's not about feeling, it's that what do you do? What do you do when you have silly thoughts like that? What do you do when something wrong has happened and then something happens in succession to that and you want to say to yourself in my mind, well, anyway, I did deserve that. Listen, if you think, that for every wrong thing to do, you are deserving to pay a price for what you've done, then you don't understand righteousness. Well, you could say, well, but worldly, speaking from a worldly sense, you know, you can't imagine that God's just going to let you skate in that. Listen, in all of your ways, he will take everything in your life and turn it around for good to those who love God. The one that wants to get away with murder and wants to make a fool of God is not the one that loves God, right? So the lingering fear that we have, well, people might take advantage of that then that person is a fool and never loved God, never had faith in him to begin with, right? Or they had faith and they stopped halfway because they thought that they had a way now that they could get away with murder, right? But in our mind, in our estimation, what ends up happening in our perception is that we learn what is worthy and what is unworthy, what is good and what is evil. As you grow in the gospel, you are not growing to a propensity to do bad, right? That's not the way you're growing, right? You're growing in righteousness. So you are definitely growing in the right way. You're bending the way you should bend, right? So in everything, it doesn't matter whether it was your fault or not. I mean, I use this example a lot, but it's always the first example that pops into my head, right? I mean, this was a governmental thing, right, that happened with a king of that time. Abraham brought his wife in, and because he was so scared that they were going to kill him because she was so good-looking, he said, this is just my sister, or I forget if it was sister or cousin. That's not the important thing. He said, this is a relative. Like, I'm not married to her. This is not my wife. And then the king said, okay, she's not your wife. So then I have the right within my kingdom that I can take whatever woman I want to be my wife. And he took her. So in the king's estimation, he was right. And in the king's estimation, Abraham would have been wrong. And when he found out what Abraham did, he even corrected Abraham. The king corrected Abraham, like, how could you do this? How could you bring this upon me, right? He said, take your wife. Like, how could you do this, right? I don't know, actually, he didn't say take your wife, but he said, but how could you do this to me, right? So the idea is then the Lord told him, from God's perspective, right, he defended the righteous. And I know that in natural thinking, that doesn't fit, right? You know what it sounds like to natural thinking? Foolish, right? That sounds foolish. Why would God side with the person that is wrong? But the thing is, that person is not wrong. That person is a righteous individual, right? And God will turn all things around for the benefit of that individual. God will always work for the benefit of the righteous no matter what. It doesn't matter what it is. He will always work for the benefit of the righteous. This earth belongs to the righteous. Everything in it belongs to the righteous. Now, if every person would go along with the plan of God and accept the truth of God and none would perish, then everything would belong to everyone. But not everyone accepts the wisdom of God, right? So, but you have to understand this. There is not a certain price that Jesus said, well, that kind of price you have to pay. Right? I didn't deliver you from this or I didn't deliver you from that, but it's all the opposite, right? We have been, the scripture says that we that are righteous, we judge all things, but we ourselves are judged by no one, right? That we can judge all things, that you can judge all things by the same wisdom. You can judge things, all things by the same wisdom that is of God. Now, granted, there are times when the Lord is teaching you the gospel, and there are times that God can bring things up to your heart that have to do with giving you talents for things that you didn't even have. And I'm not saying talents like now you have this thing and you're going to be the best woodworker that there is. What I'm saying is that as things are needed, you have the power to excel in whatever is needful for you to excel in, right? It doesn't matter what it is. If you need to be an expert in splitting water, then now all of a sudden you become an expert in splitting the Red Sea and being able to walk through on dry land. How does a man, right, become an excellent warrior, right? A warrior of that caliber. I mean, Moses led those people to victory, and the things that led those people to victory was not him leaning on the understanding that he had gained while being an Egyptian warrior, right? It's not what he gained by being under Pharaoh's command, all the carnal things that he learned, but it said that by faith, right? Noah built an ark and saved himself and his family and anybody that would have come with him, right? Saved the species of the earth were saved in that ark. The world, in other words, was saved, right, through what? Faith in Jesus Christ. He said, by faith Noah, when God spoke to him of things that are not seen, when God spoke to Noah about things that he could not see with his eyes or hear with his ears, what was the only way that he could actually then profit and be successful in what God was telling him to do? By faith, only by faith in Jesus Christ, only by faith. So much so that even from his birth, right, the Lord prophesied over him that he would give rest. He would give rest to the world, right? And obviously, that's a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ, but this was a man that the Lord used and taught things that were godly. Noah was called a preacher of righteousness, right? A preacher of righteousness, a man that knew about the righteousness of God. Well, who does the righteousness of God come through? Through whom would the righteousness of God come through? Faith in Jesus Christ. Only the same gospel that was preached unto us was preached unto them. Abraham, the faith that Abraham had, right, was through what? Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. So good. So good to see. So good to see that. Thank you, Lord. Let me show you something a little here. Let me show you just a comparison here in two things. If we can go to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse number 9. Yeah, and this is Solomon speaking here. And he already acknowledged around verse number 6 and 7, he talks about how the Lord had blessed his father David, right? How David had walked uprightly, right? And any time that the Bible makes reference to uprightness of heart, right? That's talking about faith in Jesus Christ, right? Uprightness of heart. And then in verse, if we can go up to verse number 8, he says, and thy servant, in verse number 8, and thy servant, speaking of himself, Solomon, is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen. And now understand this, a people that you have chosen. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. In other words, he has chosen those that do not count, right? That would come to a place in their life. This doesn't mean that God only saves people that are ignorant people in everything of the world, because God could choose you. And when you were, I mean, when Saul was saved, right, that became Paul, he considered himself very wise to the things of the world. I mean, he considered himself blameless, is what he considered himself, right? But what that means is that he chose those people that he knew would let go of the wisdom of this world. That's what he's saying there. So it doesn't mean that he chose the stupid. It said that he chose those that would let go of the wisdom of this world, and that would, within their growth in their knowledge of Christ, would come to a place where they would let go and count it as loss. The same way that Paul then did, right? He came to a place where he said, all of that stuff, physical circumcision, all of that is of no benefit to me whatsoever. Of no benefit to me whatsoever, right? And he says here, Solomon says, he says, I'm in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore your servant an understanding heart to judge your people. An understanding heart, in other words, give me, Lord, understanding to be able to govern. Give me understanding to be able to reign. How is it that you reign today? Don't think that your reign is different than the reign of Solomon, right? The reign is the same. The reign is the same. Right? We are called to reign. I mean, the reason why we are called kings and priests is because we are called to that, to reign in a kingdom, to reign in a kingdom. Paul says, don't you know that you will judge angels? You will govern over them. You will govern. So we are part of a governing body, right? We are part of a governing body. And how do we govern? How do we govern? The same way that Solomon was taught to govern, right? If you receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, you will learn how to govern. You will learn how to govern, right? We govern over the things of this world. We govern over angels. We govern over everything that is created by what? By the same wisdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? The same wisdom, the same wisdom. He says, give therefore thy servant, in verse number 9, an understanding heart to judge, to govern thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. You see the same thing? I'll show you in Hebrews. But he said, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able, what man is able to judge or to govern thy a people so great? In other words, Lord, the people that are of your kingdom, how can a natural man govern in the kingdom of God? How can a natural man govern in the kingdom of God? Impossible, right? That's why in all of our helps ministry, we don't ask people to come in here with all of your physical talents, and because you used to be a disc jockey, then you can make the best person that can do sound back there. That is not true. It doesn't mean that because you have a degree from MIT that you're going to be the best person to come in here and do a visual. That is not true, right? Because we don't call people to come in here and to govern over what is being done, right? In other words, when you govern over something, you are in charge. In other words, you are part of where God is working the kingdom through on this earth, right? In other words, his kingdom is being executed through people on this earth, and will always be that way, right? The kingdom of God is executed through people. So to have a bunch of people that are really talented but don't know the Lord, right? That's a church that is failing. It doesn't matter the amount of people that are there. The church is failing. Why? Because it's a natural church and nobody needs it. Nobody needs it. And eventually, right? So what matters is not what people think is successful. What matters is not what people think is profitable, because what people think is successful and what people think is profitable is always that which God counts foolishness. The reasoning, the way people think, the way they process thoughts, the way they come to decisions, the Lord looks at that and he says, that's foolish. That's foolish. Right? It doesn't mean that every single thing that an individual does leaning on their own understanding comes out wrong. But the thing is that the end of what you're doing is going to lead you to death anyway. So if what the way you reason and the way you think is working here, eventually that way of reasoning and thinking and that leaning on your own understanding is going to bring you to death. So God is saying the only way to live a life where you can reign by my life is to be those that are taught of God and to be able to move past the basic things of Christ and be able to continue to move on, right, to things that God, in other words, places where God wants to progress us in the knowledge of Christ, right? Things that we have not yet heard, right? And it doesn't mean that they're outside of the gospel, but knowledge and things of the Lord and what we have received and what we have, right? There is more to learn. There is more to see, right? There is more to learn and definitely more to see, right? And it says in verse number 10, it says that the speech pleased the Lord. Why did Solomon's speech, what he asked, give me an understanding heart, please the Lord? Because it was a faith, right? Because without faith, it would have been impossible for him to be pleased, right? Without faith, it would have been impossible for him to be pleased. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because you have asked this thing and asked not for thyself a long life. Everything that he's going to mention here is all carnal. Long life, riches, the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself an understanding heart to discern judgment. In other words, a way to be able to have righteous judgment. What you asked me for was the understanding that would lead you to righteous judgment. The understanding, right, that would lead you to righteous judgment. In other words, if you were to ask for the same thing, that's what we do when we acknowledge the Lord. We're not asking, Lord, give me earthly wisdom. We're asking, Lord, teach me. My heart is open to you, Lord. I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you. And that pleases the Lord. Why? Because that is a faith in Jesus Christ. You have the audacity to ask because you know of the righteousness you possess, right? You have the audacity to ask the Lord to teach you, for him to be your teacher. Why? Because you know. You know what? That you have been given the right to the wisdom of God and that you possess the Spirit of God on the inside of you and that you are of a kingdom that is meant to be a kingdom, right? You are part of a kingdom that is meant to reign. If the kingdom of God is in you now, the reign of God has come. When Christ came to the earth, the reign of God came with him, right? The reign of God came with him. So that's why he did things that reigned over natural circumstances. Walking on water is not just a work of power. Walking on water is reigning on the earth. He reigned over a storm. He reigned over the water. He reigned over leprosy. He reigned over sickness. He reigned. That's what reigning looks like. Reigning looks like you're not subject to the things of the world. That's what reigning looks like. Reigning looks like somebody goes to kill you and you pass right through them. Reigning looks like what's going on. Yes, it looks supernatural because it is above that which is natural. It is of what? The kingdom of God. The reign of God has come. He said, if the blind see of the deaf hear, surely the kingdom of God has come near you, right? We that have the kingdom, he said, you should have of that kingdom. Have grace, right? Let me bring you here to something in Hebrews chapter 5 that'll show you a parallel here with 1 Kings 3. Hebrews chapter 5, and I think we'll wrap up there. Hebrews chapter 5 and around verse number 12. It says, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, which is the word of God, the first principles of the word of Christ, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Unskilled meaning, right, and he'll explain it in a second, but unskilled in the word of righteousness means that they hear it, they have heard it before, but they don't know it. It doesn't mean you disagree with it. Unskilled just means you're not proficient in it yet, right? You hear it, but you're not proficient in it yet. So what corrects that? What corrects the fact that you hear and agree, but are not proficient in the things that are of the kingdom? In other words, in living, right, the salvation in you being worked outwardly, right? He says, verse number 14 again, but strong meat belongs to them that are, sorry, I actually didn't read the fullness of 13. So let me read 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. In other words, a child in his thinking yet. Right? A child in his way of thinking of the things of the kingdom. In other words, just beginning to learn. But what he's saying is these are people that have been listening for a long time. listening for a long time, but still yet in their thinking, in the way that they reason, in the way that they judge, they're still babies in the way that they think. A lot of the ways that they think are still foolish according to the world, because in their thinking, they're still very much conformed to the way of the world, right? But it says, but 14, but strong meat. In other words, that which is taught to people that are mature. Well, it says, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, which is mature. In not just in their hearing, but in their understanding, right? They become established, right? Rooted and grounded in the things of the Lord. And that only happens, only happens, only, did I say only? Only happens by repetition, only. Only happens by repetition. You will never, ever in all of your life and all of the extent of what you know until you see Christ, you will never hear something one time that will ever change your life. Never. Never. You can hear something that blows your mind, but it won't change your life one time. Never. You can never hear one thing that will ever change your life that once. Like, oh, I heard this. I went away to a retreat. I learned this thing, and it blew my mind. It could blow your mind. It could correct an understanding. It could feel so good. It could feel so good because you heard this thing. It rattled your thinking, right? And it's like, wow. Like, your eyes are like, woo. But and it was open to you. It was revealed to you. But it doesn't mean that you have kept it and you're rooted and grounded in that and you're walking in it. That's not what that means. How does that come? By reason, watch. By reason. It says for 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are a full age, even those who by reason of use, what have they been using? Their hearing of faith. Constantly hearing. 1 week, one time a week is not enough. 2 times a week is not enough. Acknowledging God in all of your ways, that's enough. Acknowledging God in all of your ways, that is enough. Continuing in that, right? He says, for who by reason of use have their senses, watch, have their senses exercised to be able to discern good and evil, to be able to discern that which is worthy and unworthy, to be able to discern that which is right and that which is not right, that which is righteous and that which is unrighteous, that which is of God and that which is of the spirit of error. The only way that you will ever know that is by use. Continued use of what? Of your listening, the ears. See, the ears that you have given, have been given, and the eyes you've been given. Eyes have not seen and ear have not heard, but you have been given eyes to see and you have been given ears to hear. So put aside the fact that I just don't know. No, you can already hear and you can already see. The thing is, are you willing to see and are you willing to hear? Those are two different things. You know, we don't have the excuse. If we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, we don't have the excuse, oh, that the Lord can't teach me. So that's, you can put that aside. If you were looking for an excuse, that one is not it, right? So if you were looking for something hard, you're also not going to find anything hard because God is not looking to overburden you. But what you will find is the ease of, Lord, I just acknowledge you in this, Lord. I'm listening to you. Teach me. He's not asking you to do anything else. He's not asking you to try to understand. If you try to, the only way for you to try to understand is to lean on your understanding. So he's not trying to make you understand, right? The Lord is not asking you, sorry, for you to understand. The Lord is able to both to speak to you, to open up your eyes, and from that continued use, you will see clearly. But it only comes from what? The repetition of God in your heart, and then allowing the Lord to bring down right thoughts, vain imaginations in your mind, and to exalt what? The knowledge of Christ in your heart. To exalt the knowledge of Christ. And then what happens? You become no more conformed to the world, but then you become then, you start being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Who is it that renews your mind? The Spirit of God renews your mind, right? The Spirit of God renews your mind. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let me just bring you just one more place. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I just want you to see this. I mentioned it, but I want you to see it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 18. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, right? Noah, it says that by faith, right? The Lord was speaking to him about things that were unseen, and he did that. It says, by faith, Noah. Was able, Moses, he says, Moses says that Moses saw him who is unseen. right? Seeing the unseen. How can you see the unseen? By having eyes to see, right? If you don't have eyes to see, you can't see the unseen. So God is asking you, don't look at that which is seen, look at that which is unseen. Watch what he says. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the things that are eternal are of what? The kingdom of God, right? So why is it, you see why in Matthew 6 he says to seek first the kingdom of God. What is that? Things that are unseen. Things that are unseen. How do you seek the kingdom of God? Let him who is unseen teach you about those unseen things, right? And then you can receive from a kingdom that is unseen. And the awesome part about receiving from a kingdom that is unseen is that you're receiving things that are eternal, not things that are temporal. You're receiving things that are eternal. So that is how you, right, are able to bypass the natural order of this world, which is what? You exist, you rot, and you die, right? How is it then that things that should rot and die and waste all of a sudden become, look like they're seasoned with eternal salt? Right, you got a pair of sandals that seem like somebody seasoned them with eternal salt. They don't wear. I've had the sandals for 15 years. They don't wear. Right? How is it that their clothes didn't wear? That their sandals, the shoes on their feet, did not wear? Seasoned with things that are not of this world, that are unseen. They come to you which way? By faith. Right? How is it that men do things that are impossible? How does Noah with his family, he didn't have a crew of labor workers from New York City, of labor, you know, local 154 working with him to build the ark. It was him and his family. How do you build something like that? How do you build something like that? How do you overthrow entire kingdoms? How does Abraham go with just the men in his own house? How does he go and destroy, right, two armies of people? Right? I don't know if it was two or four. That's not the important thing, right? But how does that happen? How do you that have a body that's dead all of a sudden start having children? How is it that somebody that's dead gets life back into them and starts breathing again after they've been dead for 3 or 4 days, right? Their body's already started to rot, and how is it that the process of destruction and corruption gets reversed in your life, right? Because things become seasoned with the things that are eternal. And then more and more, and Miss Lindsay prayed it, that we would be able to see that the things of this world today can become a little bit at a time swallowed up by that which is eternal. There will be one day, the day that you know Christ fully is a day where everything temporal will be swallowed up by that which is eternal. But today, he's saying, we that are receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken, in other words, a kingdom that is eternal, that's not temporal. Temporal things can be shaken. Eternal things cannot be moved, right? Since we're receiving from a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have from those eternal things. Let's live that way. Let's reign in Christ, right? Let's reign with Christ. We are not gonna be kings, right? We are already given all that was needful for us to be able to be in a position to reign. So all he's saying, receive then the abundance of my grace and of my gift of righteousness. See, it's by righteousness that you are crowned, right? You are crowned, right, by the righteousness that was given unto you through the cross, right? So you have already been crowned. If you're waiting to be crowned, you were already crowned, right? So if you are crowned, you have been given the right, the legal right by God to reign. If it's not after the coronation, I don't know when exactly you can start to reign. So when have you been crowned? The day that you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right? Because if he is a son and he is crowned as the son of God, so you have been made sons, right? So if he has a crown and he is an heir, so you have a crown and you are an heir, right? And I get it. Every crown deserves to be laid at the feet of Jesus Christ, but it's beside the point of the fact that you have been crowned, right? It is beside the point. The glory belongs to him. Completely belongs to him, but it is beside the point of the fact that you have already been crowned. So what we're waiting to reign, right? I don't know exactly. It's just lack of knowledge, because if we knew, we would be able to bypass the places where we are and enter into the things. God has much better for you. Much better for you. Much better for you. And what he's given, he's already given the best. But we can definitely be reigning in this life.